Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Trying to figure out, I'm pinning myself to the screen. You don't even know what I'm talking about here. Good morning. Good morning, man. Lot going on, lot buzzing around us. Wow, busy weekend here in the Coach Dave house, I can tell you that, as we get ready for this exciting weekend that's coming up. And boy, that's still in flux, and that's still in our preparation for what we're going to do, what type of program we're going to have is still in flux. Be in prayer about that, because I believe this is really, really critical time. Again, Sky High event this weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning. Love for you to come. Registrations continue to go up. If you are going to come, okay, a couple things. Because we've heard a couple different people have asked some inquiries. Number one, yes, you can pay at the door, but we have to know you're coming. Say that again. Yes, you can pay. You say, I didn't register online, or I'm having trouble registering online, whatever it is. If that's you and you're having trouble registering online, email me, say, Coach, we're coming. I got four and we're coming. We'll pay at the door. Okay, you can do that. That's fine. Those of you or anybody coming, please let us know. Our numbers are continuing to increase. Today, the big tent shows up. We're going to get that put down. Our Jiffy Johns are showing up today. So we got the cleanup crew coming in tomorrow. I have to say, the cleanup crew, I'm not sure I can be there. Steve Dex, my wife, somebody else is going to be in charge of it. We got to do some weed whacking and just some little things around there to get everything set up, clean up the garage, all that kind of stuff. So if you said yesterday we're coming, we're going to start about 10 o'clock tomorrow. I just got it's a busy Thursday for me. Not sure that I can shake myself free to be there, but we can use you. 10 o'clock on, if you can make it, make it. And again, if you have any, say, Coach, I don't have the money, I can't afford, come anyway, okay? If you can't make it, come. If you can't afford it, you come. And we'll figure out, we'll pick up the arrangements for you, okay? Come. Myra, you coming, Myra? Good morning, Saints. I know she's coming. We'll get you at the airport, Myra. Anybody who's flying in, needs any kind of pickup, let us know. I know Jeff Nell's flying in, maybe some others I'm not aware of. We can't pick you up if we don't know that you're there, okay? So we're looking for a really, really, there's something happening here. And I'm not just talking about here. There's something really, really, something really going on in the good old U.S. of A, boys and girls. Now, I'm gonna tell you this. I used this illustration yesterday. Maybe it was in the after show. We are winning. Right now, we are winning. And how do I know we're winning? The left is so desperate. Now, they've been decades out ahead of us. They've planned out every step that we're seeing. And they're adjusting their game as they go. But they're not winning. The left is not winning. And the only reason that we're not more victorious, or haven't been more victorious, is still because we still haven't organized our efforts, still aren't pushing back in the same direction. I saw today somewhere, I saw a statistic. The real truth is about 37% of Americans have been vaccinated. 37%. Now, what did I see? I couldn't believe it. What state? Okay. Well, I'll get to that here in a second. Don't believe it. We're winning. They're pulling out all the stops. They're doing everything they can. They're doubling down on their mandates, all that stuff. We're in the process of winning. Now, that's why we want you to try to get to Sky High if you can this weekend, because we're going to make some plans. We're going to lock arms, make some plans about what I believe are some tough times ahead. Some tough times ahead. I don't want to belabor that point. You guys all know that. I don't want to be repetitive and say the same thing over and over. Hey, Spencer, get to take captive. Pull that up on the screen for us here. I want to start with a scripture today. Sometimes we do it just the other way. Today, I want to start with a scripture. And I want to start with a scripture, and I want to start with a question. Hey, Spencer, I don't know why my screen looks different than what it normally looks. Am I okay? Everything good on my end? Maybe did I pin myself to it here? Do I want to unpin myself? Maybe. Yeah, there you go. That did it. Thanks, man. Thanks. I wrote something down here. We're going to do spiritual first this morning. We'll see where it goes, okay? Is there a show like this anywhere on the internet? It talks of, I got emails yesterday. People had never, ever seen the Humanist Manifesto. They couldn't believe it. I got emails from people who had never heard of Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist. And the fact that the idea of the separation of church and state is nowhere in any founding document. Actually, that it came from the letter from the Danbury Baptist to Thomas Jefferson. How can we, if we're not to be ignorant of his devices, how can church folk be so blind? Now I beseech you, 2 Corinthians 10. I'll do Joe honor. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 10 as we start off here this one. Hang on. No, not yet, Joe. Hang on. Another one of those words that gigs me that I want to bring to the table today is our most powerful weapon is prayer. I got to tell you something. That gigs me. I'm sorry. That is not true. I'm going to say it again. That isn't true. That's our most powerful weapon. Whether you believe it or not, the most powerful weapon we have is action empowered by prayer. Not prayer. Prayer doesn't do anything unless you do something. So I get emails all the time. And I'm there too.
Amen.
Pray for this. Pray for that. Okay. Then what? And I got a friend right now, an acquaintance who's in the horse pistol. They're killing him. I can pray for him all I want to. If somebody doesn't go in there and share with that guy, he better get some ivermectin in him, and he better get some hydroxychloroquine, and he better get off that damn remdesivir, and he better get somebody to give him some zinc. If somebody doesn't go in there and tell him, I don't care how much you pray, that dude's going to die. Somebody give me a thumbs up so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we hear people say, I'm going to go in my prayer closet, and I'm going to pray. Oh, pray for Joe. Pray for Tim. Pray. Yeah, I'm not making light of prayer. At some point, somebody's going to have to put action to their prayer. No wonder.
Amen.
Our platitudes, the words that we say, the positions we take. Some guy comes busting in my door, wants to have his way with my wife. I'm going to pray. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and the bullet goes straight. That's what I'm going to do. What's wrong with us, Christians? I'll pray about it. Saying that is nothing more than an excuse for you not to have to do anything. I'll pray about it. I remember going to a pastor and asking him to go to Planned Parenthood with me. What did he say? I'll have to pray about that, brother. Really? Are you kidding me? So you got to pray about whether or not you're going to tell it. Okay, I'm going to say it, Lord. I'm going to say it. If you have a pastor, if your pastor is wishy-washy on the vaccination, that's of great concern to me. That's of grave concern to me. If your pastor, or when you go to church, they tell you that the vaccine is up to you, that's scary. To me, it's very, very scary. It's an example of two things: a misinformed, uninformed pastor, or a cowardly one. And I don't know which one's worse.
Amen.
Right? Can somebody? Which one's worse? You guys think? A cowardly pastor or a misinformed one? And if that pastor is misinformed on the vaccine, what else is he misinformed on? And if the pastor is afraid to stand up and tell you the truth about vaccines, what else is he afraid to tell you the truth about? Oh, I know I'm zeroing in. Say, oh yeah, but he's a good man. No, he isn't. Sorry. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. He's not a good man. There's none. First of all, the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. Well, I sound arrogant today, don't I? I'm just telling you, I'm just, I'm just laying it out there as smoothly as I can. We are in this mess that we're in today because of compromised Christianity. That's right. The voice of God, Trump, where is that, Lord? Is it in Romans? It doesn't matter. It says, if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? I love being around Alan Zipher when he blows that shofar. Anybody ever heard Zipher blow his shofar? Whoa, the place rocks. I'm ready to go to war when I hear Al Zipher blow his shofar. He's known as the shofar blaster. If I grab that thing and I put it to my lips and go, doesn't put a lot of confidence in me, you know? Scripture verifies that if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to the war? Are there any pastors that we know of, really and truly, that are publicly blowing that trumpet? Oh, our pastor Arter up in Canada, Tony Spell down in New Orleans. Listen, I know a lot of local guys. I understand that. Is there a national? Where's Frank Graham? Where's Tony Perkins? You know what they got? That's why we're in the mess that we're in. I started out in a pretty good mood till just about the last 5 minutes before I came down here today. I'm so sick of what's going on. So sick of it. Can I tell you this? I'm also doubly sick because I'm tired of people blaming, well, the Bible says that's what's going to happen. I am so sick of that. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible. A lot of things in the Bible. And you can't just kind of, how do I say this? You can't just pick and choose and apply them whenever you want to whatever situation you're in. The Bible's not a standalone verse thing. Can't reach in there and pull out one truth or a truth, but to pull out the truth, the entire the entire truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I can find every excuse under heaven to why I don't have to do something. I can find it right there in that Bible. Take it out of context. That's what happens to us. I'm going to be nice here in a minute. I just got to get this off my chest. I'm a coach. And I would tell you this. Urban Meyer, I don't know if you guys saw what happened to Urban Meyer last week. This after, for those of you that don't even know who Urban Meyer is, don't care. I'll get you in a second, Mark Trump. I'll get you in a second. Don't even know who Urban Meyer is. Was a football coach at Ohio State, now he's a football coach of Jacksonville Jaguars. And after their game last week, he gets a video taken of him in a bar with some girls coming up and not lap dancing, but rubbing all over him. And the video goes viral. And I told my wife before I came down the steps, you'll never see a video of me doing that. You'll never, ever see a video of me doing that. I can tell you right now. If you ever see a video of me in a situation like that where young girls are rubbing up against me, it'll be a no contest divorce. You're going to have everything. Why? Because I try to live what I tell others to do. I try to live it. I live it first before I try to tell you to do it. I'm not patting me on the back. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of compromised people, compromised Christianity, stuff coming out of there, speaking one way, living another. Am I keeping any friends in here today? Because I'm frankly getting to the point.
Amen, coach.
Some of you guys, amen. So listen, some of you guys would never see the field if I was your coach and we were in a football game. You would never see the field. Oh, you could sit on the bench if you want to and shine up your helmet. You can do that. You'd never see the field. Full of excuses. I'm talking to me. Full of excuses why babies are still being murdered. Full of excuses why they're, as we read yesterday, be better for a millstone put around your neck than let them do what they're doing to our children. And a pastor that won't stand up against it. Nowhere. You won't find a pastor anywhere. Jeff Klein will go stand up against it, but you won't find, well, maybe Bill Dunphy will go with him. But, hey, no. Huh? See, this whole thing could flip if we just stood up. If we just stood
up. Amen.
If we just stood up, it would flip. And that, now I see all you see. The devil never compromises. The devil never takes a break. Now they're trying to pass legislation that if a woman has a baby in a hospital and she's not vaccinated, she can't take her baby home with her. Did anybody see that? Anybody see that but me? Can't take her baby. Who the hell do these people think they are? And who do we think they are? FBI is watching me. I know they are. All around us, we see the Hegelian dialectic going on. Say, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah. They fire nurses, right? Create the problem, fire nurses, and they say, oh, my goodness, we got a problem. Let's bring in the National Guard. Let's get the government involved with it, right? You got problems going on in your local school districts. BLM's burning down everything. Antifa's destroying everything. The NEA is corrupting your children. And the parents show up at the school board. And the Attorney General of the United States wants to send the police in to arrest people who show up at a school board meeting. What do you expect your prayers to do? Make them not come? Oh, Lord, make him not crack me with the nightstick. Is that what you want your prayers to do? Oh, Lord, please protect Jeff Klein when he goes. And oh, by the way, Lord, please take care of Billy too, right? That's the extent of our prayer life. And we call that prayer. It's the most powerful weapon. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to gag. It is, with action applied to it. Faith without works is dead. Prayer without corresponding actions is dead. You're praying for a miracle. You're praying for a supernatural intervention of God. You're not praying for God to empower you to go do it. You're praying somebody else will go do it. I woke up in a good mood. I'm just telling you the truth. I wonder how many of you out there, I'm now going to get really down there and step on your toes. I wonder how many of you say, well, hey, brother, I'll pray for you, and then don't. Raise your hand. I'll pray for you, brother, and then you don't do it. And by the way, what would you pray for? I don't know, but I'll say a prayer, and then I'll feel better about it because I told him I would. Because we don't believe in the power of prayer anymore. We don't believe in supernatural power of God anymore. If we believed in the supernatural power of God, I got to watch what I'm saying. I would intervene more aggressively than I do. But I said, well, if I go do that, they're going to arrest me, and then I won't be any good to anybody. But maybe if I went in there and they arrested me, maybe that would spur a movement all across America. We don't know what the Lord's going to do with our sacrifice, with our obedience. Well, I'll have to pray about that, brother. I'll have to pray about that. Sounds like it's pretty dangerous to me, brother. Yeah, but they're killing those babies, and it's really dangerous for them. Yeah, brother, I'll have to pray about that. You know, we're to obey the authorities, brother, right? Come on in, Roger. And wait, after go ahead. After Roger,
oh, I was just going to say, Dave. You know, it's like much of what has been taught here over the last 4 or 5 years. It's many times it's balance. The problem is we hear prayer 90% of the time, action 10% of the time.
Well, Roger, think of your local church. If they do it, what if everybody in that church, when the pastor said, let us pray, everybody, I imagine 100% of the people probably engage in prayer. Now, what if the pastor said, okay, now we're going to engage in action?
How many? Yes. And that's exactly what the whole concept of some balance is lacking. It's like the love gospel. That's love, 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 80% of the time.
Amen.
So the key, I believe, as a healthy Christian outlook is to balance on these topics. And this is another one. There's no balance in the church. It is, well, let's go pray about it instead of, hey, when can we show up at city council?
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger, here's the truth. We're all guilty of this. Okay. The first question that comes to our mind is, what's this going to cost me? There it is. Once you ask that question, by the way, the Bible says count the cost. So I guess you are supposed to ask that. When you realize, that's why Jesus said, no man builds a tower and gets halfway through it, decides it was more than he was willing to pay. Right? You count that cost before you go. And the truth is, a lot of us have counted the cost, and it's more than we want to pay. So we'll just pray about it. Mark Trump, you were in here and then out. Do you want to jump back in?
It's brief. People talking about that's what the Bible says is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's true, Coach. And you got Noah. He didn't have a Bible, but God told him what was going to happen. God told him. What did Noah do? Did he say, I'll pray for him?
See if I can find somebody else to help me here. No.
He pushed God back. He's like, God's like, okay, go ahead and try. So he spent 120 years trying after God said he's going to bring judgment. That's where we are, you know, but Noah went and did.
Yeah. I'm glad he did too, aren't you, Mark? I wonder.
Amen.
It cost Noah a lot. It did. Come on in, Jeff. Thanks, Mark.
Coach, we had 24 of us in the garage last night.
Yeah.
At the end of it, I got up. Pastor Bill let me ramble a little bit on him. And I asked him, I said, how many of you have been to a school board meeting? They all just looked at me. I said, two or three of us sitting here have been there. Tom Branstow and Dennis. I said, Tom, isn't it exciting, invigorating going into that school board meeting? Tom said, oh, yeah, brother. And Tom's never done anything like this before. I said, well, we've been to 6 or 7 board meetings in 2.5 months because Mount Vernon's been 4 times, Fredericktown, Danville, and East Knox. So I shared with him some scripture I've been using, the workers of iniquity. If you're not gathering, you're scattering, and just ripping the school board. I said, people, how many of you would like to go to school board meetings? He said, raise your hands. I just made him raise their hands. And man, probably 70% of the people in there raise their hands. I said, well, then come on. I said, even if you don't, if you're just scared the first time, come and sit in the seat. I said, look, this one guy said, but, and as I'm reading him scripture, I said, it is an honor to be able to go in there and raise, just bring Christ into them godless schools. I said, you don't understand. I looked at this one guy, I said, I'll bet you could read a scripture like that, couldn't you? He's like, yeah. I said, well, then let's go. And so these people are all fired up last night. I said, but there's no morals in the school. There's no godliness.
No, so listen, folks. Thanks, Jeff. God bless you, man. This is important. My wife, should I do something wrong? Oh, she's looking for something. She snuck in my studio. What was I going to say? I'll come back to it. Come back to it. It was about, what was it about? Oh, I know what it was about. Folks, listen. They're sending the National Guard to your school board meetings because the devil wants your kids. You get it? The devil wants your kids. And now Merrick Garland, our attorney general, who was almost Supreme Court justice, probably would have been, I don't know, probably would have been better if he was there. Shows you where the left is, right? What did Merrick Garland say? What's he doing now? He wants the FBI to start following around people who are raising Cain at school board meetings. You saw that, didn't you? They're not chasing Antifa. They're not chasing BLM. No. They're chasing Jeff Klein going to school board meetings. Why? Because they're after your kids. And the school board is in control of what goes into the minds of your kids, and they're going to send out the freaking National Guard to make sure that their agenda goes forth in the school. And what's their agenda? Destroying the minds of children. We read it yesterday. Be better for a millstone than to mislead one of these little ones. Come on in, Larry.
Hey, Coach.
Hang
on, Larry. One more thing, Jeff said.
Real quick. Here's the motto I used with them last night. I said, guys, we were rescued to rescue. Why are we not? These kids need us.
That's right, because the pastors aren't telling them to. Because the pastors don't rescue. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I want to start by saying thank you, Naomi, for a couple of days ago. You kind of jogged me and reminded me that when I speak about praying for God's will and then whatever happens, trust it's his will. I don't often enough say, and then find out what your part in his will to change things for the better is. I thank you for reminding me. I need to get our part put in that prayer equation in. And Coach, what you just said about praying, I'll pray about it. You know, that's kind of like if you pray for a hurricane to miss you, do you realize you're praying for that hurricane to go hit somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're just praying. No matter what, Larry, we just pray for a miracle. God would always do a miracle. Folks, he does miracles through people. Come on in, Naomi. Thanks, Larry. Hang on a second, Naomi. I'm sorry. Well, some of you people who never talk, come in here. This ain't the Larry show and the Naomi show and the Dale show and the Mark Trump show. Can some of your other people unmute yourself and ask a daggone question? Go ahead, Naomi.
So what you're saying this morning reminds me of the story that Betty read yesterday of the man who was stuck in a storm, and different people came to try and help rescue him, but he said, I'm going to pray for God deliver me. I'm going to pray for God's deliverance.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
What if you're somebody's deliverance? What if you are somebody's answer to a prayer? What if you are?
Exactly.
Rather than praying about it, go be the answer to the prayer. Go be the answer to somebody else's prayer. Reggie?
Good morning, Coach. So I have denounced from it's been about 8 years now, but one thing I can say, when I was in my apologetic or theological space, Protestant, you know, they love to do that, is we would argue by faith alone. So Roman Catholicism or Catholicism or the Orthodox teach that your prayers are no good without works. And that's one thing I can say I take away from that. And I'm blessed and thankful for that, because I believe it. I'm that person. You say, hey, a hole needs to be dug. I've got the shovel and I'm out the door. I don't understand the concept. That's one of the things I can't wrap my head around with people is, I don't understand how they don't work at what they need and want.
I wonder how many people here have been to a church or go to a church where the pastor actually takes you out and have you walk out your faith. I bet it's not one in a thousand. Not one in a thousand. It's all theology. It's all theory. It's all theory. Bernie, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I think when you're saying the people, when they say, oh, the Bible said that was going to happen, well, apply that to some other scriptures. Like, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Oh, the Bible said that was going to happen.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive. You won't be forgiven. Well, the Bible said that was going to happen.
Yeah.
No, that's supposed to move you to action.
That's right, Bernie. That's right. Okay. That's right.
Thank you.
It's just, thanks, man. It's just platitudes. It is. Kathy, then Tracy. Hi, Betty.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Unmute. Someone needs to unmute there. Thanks, man. Go ahead, Kathy.
I just wanted to let everybody know, I went and saw that movie, God's Not Dead, We the People, last night.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. I've seen some of these God's Not Dead series before, movies, and the place was usually pretty empty. Last night, it was packed. And it was about homeschooling, fighting for the right to homeschool your kids. And the applause and the yelling out was unbelievable. People are waking up to what's going on.
Rude awakening before the great awakening.
Yeah, it was really uplifting, because normally you go in there and you sit there by your lonesome and watch the movie. And right. it was a lot of people and they were fired up.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Kathy. Tracy, come on in, then Betty. Reggie, your hand's still up.
Hey.
I don't know if you want to come back in or not. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to try to get this out yesterday while you were on, but I want to encourage those that are out there also to get involved on this huddle, because I am like an outgoing person, but I was very nervous about speaking on here because it's been a long time since I have practiced my religion and I didn't feel very smart about it. But I'm telling you, people, please speak up in this huddle. It will do you so much good. I have been a different person since being here.
You
so
know what,
Tracy,
you know why that is,
speak
Tracy?
Out.
You know why that is, Tracy? Because the Bible says that you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them. And think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak. And folks, when you press that button and you speak, you'll be surprised how the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some of you never do that and you never experience that. It's not even you sometimes that speaks. If you speak the oracles of God if you have the Holy Spirit. Don't sit there and say, well, what am I going to say? Everybody's going to laugh. Just open your mouth and speak.
Amen.
If you think it's you anyway, if you think I'm speaking because I'm wise, I'm going to tell you something. I walk down those steps every day and I think, for Lord, for an hour, God, you better be here. Right? You better show up. I mess it up if it just came from me. Go ahead, Betty.
Good morning. Yep, you're knocking it out of the park there, Coach. That's why I love you so much. You know, I've always said it that too many people sit on their duff because they're more talk than action.
Yep.
And they love their God money instead of their Heavenly Father. And if they just went out there and did something that they just to help out fight against all those evil forces, we'd have a better world.
Betty, amen, Betty. I said yesterday in the after show, I know a friend who's struggling financially, and he's got a home, paid off home, over $1 million. And I said, what the hell are you saving that? What are you saving up that equity for, dude? Take a home loan, spend some of that money, will you? Spend some of it.
But sad, my husband is one of those, and he can't seem to understand why I feel the way I do. But I say, God always takes care of me. He always has, and he always will.
That's right, baby. Look at somebody's checkbook. You know where their heart really is. Go ahead, Randy. I think it's Joe Allen first, then Randy, maybe. I'm sorry. Then Emma.
Yeah, Coach, I think I got a new business venture for Sky High.
All right.
We need to start making millstones.
Start selling and some using of those, them. Huh? Yes, sir. I got one. Michelle got me. I got two nice big millstones because I take that very seriously. I don't want that millstone put around my neck, by the way. Hey, I want to say this real quickly. God bless Steve Deck. Steve Deck's been at my house two nights, staying again tonight, doing work on the pavilion and the pond. And I mean, Steve is just really giving himself to be here. I just want to acknowledge it. I appreciate that, Steve. Go ahead, Randy, and then Emma.
Yeah, Coach, I'm going to read a little. I won't read it. I'll just speak it here, Coach. Ephesians 6. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. We put on the armor of God. If we do that, some people never do. But if we do that, then, Coach, it says praying always in the spirit and all types of prayer so that we may be bold and speak as we ought to speak.
So in other words, the prayer is to empower you to speak. Is that what you're saying,
Coach? Maybe? That's the end game. If you don't have that mind and to be empowered to go be, then you are religious and you're not practicing your faith. You're dead.
Amen.
So that's the end game, Coach, is to speak and go do as I ought to.
That's right. To show up those places where they don't want you and speak the truth. You're to be hated of all men. The Bible says you are to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Go ahead. Is that Emma? Go ahead. Whoever that was.
Hey, Coach. This is Leslie.
Oh, yes, Leslie.
Can you hear me, Coach?
I can.
Yeah. I can't see you. I had to go downstairs into the basement. I went to I spoke to a judge, had to pay my taxes. And then I said, who's calling for this mask in the building? He said, well, the person out there. So I went out and spoke to him. And asked him what science he was using and went, told him about masking. And he just, you could feel this wall come up, and it's willful ignorance. And so I'm going to write him an email and said, how can a judge not want to look at all the evidence? Well, I also went to a school board meeting and everybody was masked except the person who was speaking at the podium. This is before it started. She was giving financial information. And then they walked around and the superintendent came up to me and said, you have to wear a mask if you're going to be in here. And I said, no, thank you. Well, it went on for a couple minutes. And then they said, well, you can't be in here. We've had to deal with other people before. So I got up and left because I wasn't going to do that. So I've got an appointment this coming Tuesday to go speak at the school board meeting. I'll wear a mask to go in there and take it off when I go speak about the mask and the money that they might be getting. But I've sent them all articles on email, and it's willful ignorance. So how do we deal with that?
It's fear. It's fear.
Deal with that?
Civil disobedience. We ought to, every place where they're telling us to wear masks, we ought to show up without them. Make them arrest every damn one of us.
They ushered me out. They came and they ushered me out.
But listen, this is important. You cannot go alone. You got to take 10 people with you and not wear a mask and let them arrest all 10 of you. Make a scene. That's not very Christian. Okay. Well, pray about it then. Not making fun of you, Leslie.
And about the prayer, we pray for people. My husband actually has a gift of healing, and I tell people, call me. And miracles happen. So God gives gifts out there. And then, you know, these things do happen.
Well, we don't believe that God has works through people. We want him just to do miracles just as we pray on our way to wherever we're going. Bless you, Leslie. Come on in, Emma. I'm all over today. Sorry if you guys don't like it. Holy Spirit just pat me on the back. Go ahead, Emma.
The public school teaches us to sit down and shut up. The church teaches us to sit down and shut up. If it wasn't for this group and some people I knew outside of this group who went to that abortion mill on East Main Street religiously every Friday, he was there with his family. When they left, I thought somebody's got to take their place. One person, but that's why I go to that abortion mill on East Main Street. Mm-hmm. Because the public school told me to sit down and shut up, and I'm sick of it like you are, Coach.
Bless you, Emma. In fact, now Merrill Garland, our attorney general, he's going to make sure the cops come and make you sit down and shut up. Right, folks? And that, just pray about it. You'll pray about it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Clay.
As you reminded us, Coach, the world is supposed to hate us.
Yep.
So at this day and time, if you're going through the days or the weeks and you're not getting any opposition, you're not doing something right. So if you're listening to this program and nobody's opposing you and hating on you, you better get to work.
So, Clay, last night, listen, folks, this is critical. Hear this, please. So last night, Michelle, I'm not going to uncover you, I promise. Last night, Michelle and I had a little bit of tension between us. A lot going on here this weekend, a lot going on. And when we got up this morning, after sleeping on the little tension that Michelle and I had, I hugged her really, really tight. Even before we got out of bed, I reached over and really hugged on her. And she hugged back on me. I said, listen, we're not enemies, man. Me and you, we're shoulder to shoulder in this thing. And I know the stress. I get it. I understand it. I have it too. But I can't come home and fight with you. I can't do that. And listen, I promise, sweetheart, I won't use you as a battering ram if you don't use me as one. Now, the truth of the matter is, folks, don't most of us do that? Don't we take it out on the one we love most, our spouse? I know that Michelle will forgive me. She knows I'll forgive her. But I don't care who you are. After you've been through a stressful day, I don't want to argue with my wife. She don't want to argue with me. That's the time we need to hunker down you know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Come on in, Bobby.
The public schools and the church is working hand in hand for 50 years. And it's on steroids at this point.
The public schools, Bobby, say that again. The public schools and the churches are working hand in hand. Go ahead.
Yes. Now, here's everybody's assignment. This is the best thing. Oh, and I forgot to say the Redcoats working hand in hand with the support of the modern day Redcoats. Okay, let's just keep it clear. That would be law enforcement for you people. So this is everybody's assignment. You need to watch Sons of Liberty. Came out in 2015 or 2016. It's only two seasons. It's an easy watch. It is the best thing out there to watch to get an understanding of where we're at, just like they were at in 1775. You need to watch that and get the knowledge and the courage and step out into the arena against the Red Coat and the modern day church.
Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. Somebody's kept stepping in on Bobby. Look, friends, look. This is a different kind of war. We are already at war. But it's a different kind of war than we've ever seen. It's a war of information. It's a war of ideas. It's a war of mental assault. It's not like the kind of war. We are already at war. And we haven't figured it out yet. And look around. Every institution is in the control of Satan. And they're daring us to take it back. And David came out, when David slew Goliath, when he came up, he showed up on the scene. He said, what's going on here? Who's that big dude over there? I'm paraphrasing. Who's that big dude over there? And what's he saying? What's he saying to y'all? By the way, if you read the scripture, it says David showed up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who's defying the armies of the living God? Look it up! Goliath wasn't defying God. God was mocking the armies of God. And David said, "Don't know about y'all. I had enough." And he ran. Bible says he ran at Goliath. He didn't hesitate. He didn't stop over in his prayer closet and pray that maybe somebody else would show up. It said David grabbed his stones. He put them in the, he put four of them in the bag. He put one of them in the thing, and he ran. He says, "This day I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air." That's a new kind of friendship evangelism that David served to Goliath. And we play just the opposite. In fact, we welcome it because we say, "Well, the Bible said it'd be that way." Well, really? The Bible also said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things, right? I can? Yeah, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. I want to get to this verse real quickly. Go ahead, Roger, and Luann, and Jeff.
Well, as I said yesterday, and I said it quickly, David took his thoughts and prayers and fellowship and eating bacon and eggs in the morning in the men's group. He then took action. He grabbed the rocks. It's the greatest biblical situation. I don't like to use the word story. When these people start saying, "Just pray about," say, "Well, let's talk about David a little bit." He eventually had to pick the stones up.
Roger, none of the heroes in the Bible just prayed. None of them. None of them just prayed.
Amen. Yes.
Go ahead, Luann, then Jeff, then Randy.
Well, now y'all speaking my language. I've been saying this for years. King David, amen. Your loins and take it back by force if you have to. And that's what King David did.
Well, we have to. Time is good. We have to.
We got to do it.
Yep. Now, go pray about it. Go see if you're supposed
to. Oh, I've been praying about it.
Lord, you want me to do anything to stop the killing of babies? Oh, you don't? Okay, thank you.
Go there and make them stop it.
I'll pray they send Mark Harrington. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you shared with him last night, too. You talked to one of the guys recently, and then Tom Branstow talked to another one, East Knox, on the school board. They're on the verge right now, two out of the four, of dropping the mask.
I said, we gotta push them over.
That's what I told him. I said, "Listen to me, people. If they do drop these masks on these kids, they take them away, we're not done. We're going to keep going to the meetings because of the porno in the books, the gender stuff, the critical race theory. We got to just keep arching in there and keep slinging the stones. We're going to take that giant down. We're not going to go away because they quit with the mask."
Hang on there. Good one, Jeff. Pastor Payne, come on in. Then Randy, then Ohio Brett. Come on in, Pastor Payne, if you can. Unless you're working somebody out. He's probably on the other side of him. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you got to hate evil first.
I do hate it. I mean, hate it, Randy.
The people that don't, they're not going to do any fighting ever, Coach. So the militant or the people, if you're not here, if you're not being militant right now, you don't understand the Holy Spirit, because he's in a militant mood, Coach. He is not a gentleman in this new move.
He isn't, brother. I couldn't agree more.
The captain of the host, he's got the sword drawn, Coach. And if we don't see that, we are not on the right team.
Amen, brother. We're on the action team. Ohio Brett, come in.
Hey, Coach, you're on point again, as always. On your call right now, I just got a Facebook message from a fraternity brother in Cleveland, ICU with COVID. He said, "Send me prayers." I said, "I'll send you prayers, but make sure they freaking don't give you remdesivir." And he goes, "It's too late. They already started him on remdesivir." So I said, "I'll come there and pick you up. I'll pray, but I'll come to the hospital, pull you out, and take you to another hospital."
Amen. Amen. Give me some ivermectin. I got a story on that one, by the way, on ivermectin. Okay, I got to get to the scripture because I've had it up there for about 43 minutes.
Okay.
Are you there, Joe? Is Joe in? Oh, go ahead, Pastor Payne. Go ahead, Tom.
Yep. I was going to say, just listening, doing some train stuff, listening today about prayer. And so many things flood and the Lord's put on my heart. Prayer is not a monologue. It's dialogue. And what I've been frustrated with for years is books on the power of prayer. And I keep saying it's not the power of prayer. Mormons pray. Satanists pray. Buddhists pray.
You know, prayer, that's not it. It's about who you're speaking to. It's the power of God through that communication of prayer. It's just like a coach telling his team on the field, here's the game plan. Now go out and hit somebody. Make a play.
And they have confidence that if they run the play properly, it's going to be successful.
Right. According to his will, it says, you know, it says where two or three are gathered together in your midst, I will be there. And if there's two or three gathered, that's not a lot of people. If you do it according to my will, I'll do it. He says, I'll do it. Apart, Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. So it's not about the power of prayer. Prayer is important. That's the communication. The only time it's monologue is when God's speaking to us. We need to shut up. Listen to him.
Amen.
The other thing in my last movie is to listen is this. I thought about you when I came over the other day, Coach, and I thought about different friends of mine are men of substance, women of substance. And what I mean by that is this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right?
Yep.
And that is the things of, it's a substance, not just wishful thinking. It's like when God speaks to you, if you're able to do it, do it. You may be the answer to somebody's prayer. But the problem is we're selective. And when we pray, we go to God. And really, if we're not willing to listen to God when we pray, then we're just moving our lips because he's not hearing us. It's like earbuds. I tell folks, earbuds is this. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the logos rhema. But most people have one earbud in of God, one earbud of the world, or one out. So they can read, but without that movement or the listening to the word of God, when God says go, when God says do, and there's certain things already in your spirit where the most educated biblical people, yet the most ignorant, we are 10 miles wide and a half inch deep. We know so much about the Bible, but we don't live it out.
So, Tom,
and that's where when we listen to God, faith is the substance. We need that. The arms, we are the body of Christ. The body is, if I'm in here and you come watch me work out, I could talk to you all day. But unless you grab a hold of that bar, get underneath some pressure, resistance training, you ain't going to grow. Sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
So yesterday, when I said that I needed some help at Sky High, I could have just prayed about it. I could have not said anything to anybody about it. I could have just said, oh, Lord, please send some help. Lord, please send somebody that can run a weed whacker. Please, Lord. Would you send them? I could have done that, sat in my prayer closet. By the way, I did that. And then I came on to say, I need some help. And what happens? People come. Oh, I'll come and help. All you have to do is ask. You have not because you ask not, or
amen,
you ask amiss. Oh, man. I got to get to the scripture. Is Silver here? Good word, Tom. I don't know if he is. He usually is. I'm sorry, Joe, if you're not. Now, Paul, 2 Corinthians 10. Right here, friends, this is going to set you free. What we're about to read is going to set you free if you will embrace it, if you will understand it and embrace it. I got Silver off the couch. He came running in here real quick. You get ready. Silver, word, it's on the screen, brother. 2 Corinthians 10. Just go ahead.
There we go. Okay. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you.
Boy, that's unbelievable, isn't it? Meekness, gentleness, base, bold. Wow. Go ahead.
But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Hang on, man. If you don't war after the flesh, what does that even mean? What does that mean? Go ahead.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
He gave us weapons, didn't he? And he gave weapons for what, Joe?
For the pulling down of strongholds.
Oh, where are strongholds, friends? Where are strongholds? They're in your mind. Strongholds are in your mind. Fear is a stronghold. Worry is a stronghold. Doubt is a stronghold. Unbelief is a stronghold.
He also called it warfare.
And it's warfare against what? Those strongholds. Because if you can ever break through those strongholds, you're going to be unharnessable. Unharnessable. If you break through those. But Joe, how do we break through those? Verse 5.
Casting down imaginations.
Hang on. Hope. Where do imaginations appear? You don't have to answer. It's so obvious, right? They appear in your head. Image. Cast. So when an image of something shows up in your head, you better figure out whether that's a good image or a bad image. And I'm not talking about pornography or anything like that. I'm talking about your mindset. Your mindset. Because when you decide, when the Lord speaks to you and says, hey, I want you to go do this, there's going to be imaginations going to come, boys and girls. There's going to become all kinds of scenarios are going to come as to why you can't do what the Holy Spirit just told you to do. And Paul said, you better cast those things down. Go ahead, Joe.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Stop, Joe. What's a high thing? Come on, folks. What's a high thing? Don't answer. Think. Casting down imaginations, things I think about, and every high thing that says, believe me, not him. That's what it means when it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. These imaginations, these high things come to you and said, believe me, not him. Believe me, not him. And the struggle that you have in your life, most of us have in our lives, is we believe the high thing and not him. And he says, cast that thing down. And do what, Joe? Bring it, go ahead.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
I said to my wife today, all through this battle with our grandson, every time a negative thought came up in my head, I said, that little boy is fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. I took that stronghold and I cast that sucker down. And I got victory over that. I don't worry about it anymore. I got victory over it. Why do I have victory over it? Nevertheless, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. And I'm going to glorify and honor you, not worry. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to cast that thing down. And I'm going to bring it into captivity. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that. And I'm going to, every time that doubt comes to me, I'm going to cast that down. And I'm going to bring it into obedience to Christ. Are you guys picking this up? It's a mind game. This is working out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is how it's done. Not hiding in your prayer closet.
Amen.
Go ahead, Joe.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Are you kidding me? You destroy disobedience when you're obedient? What a thought. And I want to ask yourself, you spend more time glorifying the Lord by glorifying the devil by worry, or the glorify the Lord by faith? Which one you spend more time? Because there's your battle, boys and girls. There's your battle. It's in your thought life. Oh, my goodness.
Say that again, Coach.
I don't know if I can. It's from the Holy Spirit. The battle is in your thought life, friends. It's in your thought life. Should I or shouldn't I? Can I or can't I? Will I or won't I? That is the constant battle that's going on. That's why the Lord said, take captive every thought. And now it says up here somewhere, didn't it say that? Take captive that. What does it mean to take captive a thought? You grab a hold of it and say, no! Every thought that does what? That's opposite of what you know about the Bible, about what you know what Jesus said. That thought comes to me, you're a freaking liar. I'm believing this. But listen, boys and girls, that happens through training.
But then what?
What's that, Mark?
When you But what's it say do with it? You capture it, then what's it say do with it? This is where the knowledge of God comes in.
That's right. You bring it to the obedience to what God has said about the situation.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm only partway through this. Go ahead, Sam. Sam, Craig, and Jeff.
Myself, this is just me talking. I'd rather see people get off of a dollar than get off the couch. You want to put some skin in the game, that's a great place to start. You know, there's such a thing as a Christian busybody that just runs around from meeting to meeting, and they never really put any skin in the game. But the word says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen.
And right here in James, where it's talking about faith without works being dead, it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, it's all right there together, your finances and faith without works. It's in James chapter 2.
Amen, Sam. Oh, this thing's deep, boys. This thing's deep.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. The deeper you get into this Bible, you're going to find out it's less about you living and more about you dying. When you really, really get down into it, boys, that's what you're going to run into. Come on, Craig.
Hey, Coach, when the battle is intense, just like what you are going through, you go to your instinct and you go to the words that you know are true, and you don't discard the things that you know are true when the darkness is upon you. Things that you know are true, you grab them and you hold them. The mind is the devil's playground.
Amen.
But you will hold on to those words just like Jesus did. He conquered Satan by regurgitating the words of the Lord that he wrote. Okay. And yes, I did that. I did that from 1990 to 2013 when my daughter had over 70 brain and spinal surgeries. I'll bring the stuff this weekend. You can see. And I'm telling you, my life, for every one step I went forward, I felt I was going back two steps. And I just held on and I held on. And this is what you got to do. You got to learn the word that you can hold on to. And like in the fire department, you get in a room and you get in the middle of the room and all of a sudden the ceiling collapses and you get dazed, your instinct kicks in. You go, I find a wall, because if I follow that wall long enough, I'm going to go back to the door that I came in the room.
Amen.
This is critical.
Boy, Craig, well said. Well said. Come on in, Susan.
That passage that Sam just read from James was in my reading yesterday. And we went to the drive-in last night, and I almost hit a guy on a bicycle. And then I heard him asking on the speaker if they had any leftovers, and they didn't. So I thought, I'll buy that guy a sandwich. So I did. And I saw him leaving, and I said, hey, I bought you a sandwich. And you know what he did for the next 8 minutes? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That blessed my soul. Here's that guy who's got nothing.
You were his answered prayer.
I was his answer to prayer. You don't have to do a lot, but you know, when God speaks to you, spend $7 and buy a guy a sandwich.
Amen. Now we can't, because we like our money too much. Bless you, Susan. I want to close with this thought, okay? I love my wife more than any human being on the earth. I just can't even tell you how much I love her. And I'm going to say this again, not to uncover her. But we had part of our discussion today, our prayer this morning. I said, honey, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you really want to know what you believe, just listen to what you say. That's all you got to do. Listen to what you say. And it took me years and years and years as a football coach in the midst of the game to not analyze what was going on simply by what I saw. Because if all I did was repeat what I saw, I would be a very discouraged coach. But I was always saying, Lord, this is about to kick in. Lord, they're going to fumble. Lord, they're going to make a mistake. Lord, one of our guys is going to make a great play. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was always, even in the midst of the struggle, praising and lifting up the possibility of what God was going to do, not repeating what I knew the devil was doing. And the truth of it is, many of you speak damnation upon your own life. Why? Because it's in your heart. That's what you believe. You don't believe.
Amen.
God. You don't believe God's going to deliver you. You don't believe God's going to take that little grandson who's fearfully and wonderfully made and somehow raise him up. No, no. You want to spend all your time worrying, worrying, serving the devil, worrying, worrying, speaking what the devil tells you, speaking what the... Oh, boy, I've made some enemies today. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. Take control over it. Empowered to be in control over it. Not name it, claim it. But do you believe it in your heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've had all kinds of people say, oh, coach, you better be careful this weekend. There's going to be infiltrators going to come. I said, are you kidding me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you kidding me? I dare them to come here. God's going to strike them down. I dare them to come. Why? Because I believe it in my heart.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.